Meeting's being recorded.
I got it.
It is so enjoyable to walk into such a wooden place. All the wood in here is so nice. All
right, so we're going to go around the table and introduce yourselves so it's on record who was here. And then you'll have 15 minutes to let us know what you think the value is and why. We may have some questions based on the evidence you present to us today, just for clarification, typically. If you have any questions for us, please ask. And then at the end of the meeting, we will recess the meeting, go into deliberative session, which is a private session open to public, come up with a determination on the value, and you will receive a result of grievance notice in 2 weeks by certified mail. Okay? And if you need to email your mailing address change, you need to change it with the town clerk.
So we can do that right now.
You should do that after.
We'll change it on our end, but make sure to also change the...
Everything's going everywhere.
We won't change it until you submit a formal request to change it.
Yeah, I think we tried a couple times months ago, but I don't know what happened, so we won't leave here today.
We can write a note.
No. If there's a form or whatever it is that we need to do, we'll do it.
All right, so let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
Charlotte Gardner.
Charlotte. Jim Carroll.
Rock Monson.
Andrew French.
Robert Vickery. Okay, you have the floor.
Okay. So I'm Rock Monson speaking. So we're requesting a adjustment to the 2026 reassessment of parcel 5089, parcel ID number 6517, account number 68001003 70, and that's documented in the July 22nd, 2026 appeal to the town of Colchester sent as an attachment to an email. Summarily, we have provided what we believe are facts justifying what is called a diminution in fair market value to the town's assessed combined value or market value of the property. And we have presented details including impairments to the property's value that include the elements that are associated with a non-conforming property that impair the ability to develop, mortgage, insure, and otherwise own the property as compared to properties without such non-conformance burdens. In addition, there are other peculiar or other issues peculiar to the property that we've documented, including the road traffic, which is basically a feature of the fact that it is on a straightaway section of East Lake Shore Drive, which is otherwise fairly curvy, and should be 25 miles an hour, and traffic passes through there regularly at 10 to 40 miles per hour over the posted speed limit. There's not a lot of enforcement along that stretch. Makes it very difficult for pedestrians, and as we explain later, it makes parking, getting in and out of your limited parking spaces along that road, difficult. That again detracts from the fair market value of the property. The town owns a stormwater discharge infrastructure on the lake level at the beach that has been increasingly broken up, damaged by the winter ice forces, and I can provide additional information, but it is a hazard to swimmers and navigation. Early in the season, it's underwater entirely, invisible, but lies there either inches or a few feet underwater in various places. It has broken concrete,
rebar
and large bolts hanging out all over the place. Some individuals have gotten hurt on it. So that's a detraction from the enjoyment of the beachfront. The parking limitations I mentioned earlier, partly a result of the size of the grandfathered lots, partly a function of the speed of traffic that goes past the property.
And one thing is the snow and the ice pelts the buildings, fills up the parking. You run a plow truck through there 35 miles an hour. Salt, it's not a pleasant place to be in the wintertime. And it creates a real problem trying to get the snow and stuff out of there.
For each of those elements of diminution, we researched, including information about Vermont approaches, and we chose the low to mid end of percentage adjustments for diminution of the property, and we've documented each of those in that letter. For the non-conforming property, the issues can range from a 10% to 50% diminution. We selected a 20% diminution. For the traffic, impairments can run from a few percent to 15%. We chose 5. For the discharge, we chose 5%. For the parking limitations, we chose 2%. We also provided a brief discussion of comparable properties, demonstrating that the total valuation of the property was much higher than, for example, the 946 East Lake Shore Drive, which is an abutting property. And while there is no structure on the lakeside, that was a matter of choice years ago, so it's not grandfathered in for a structure on lakeside, but it is one-tenth the valuation, and the property is otherwise comparable. The 598 West Lake Shore Drive has both superior parking, superior depth, superior seclusion, topography.
You said 598 West Lake Shore?
Yes. Yep. Yes, that's further up the road towards Bayside.
East Lake Shore.
West Lake Shore, yes.
The first one was East Lake Shore, and the second one was
West Lake Shore. Yes, sir. Yeah. And then 662 West Lake Shore. There are similar properties on East Lake Shore. I just didn't want to give you a 15-page memo. But the valuations are less overall, and properties with actual higher aesthetic values. 662 is similar. Where you have a land assessed at $748,000 for 2.3 acres compared to our property, which is $1.2 million for 0.8 acres. And they have lower vehicle speeds and superior drainage and topography compared to our property. So the appeal in summary adds those diminution in value, subtracts them from the assessed value of $3,476,400 for a revised total market value of $254,282, and that is our request that the town reach that number for the final total valuation for tax purposes.
The one thing, if I thought we were still in an inform, that 137, 143, and 161. Is on East Lakeshore, and it's favored in every aspect that we just talked about, and like traffic, it's close to the traffic light. So you have to be slowing down and you have to accelerate. The topography's favorable, and the... Oh, I'm sorry, I meant to shut that off. So right on East Lakeshore, we've got about 6 comparables that get in depth, you know, that if that it's like we couldn't find anything that came even close to support the assessment on these properties. And But one thing is just a footnote is, man, is it hard to find the stuff weaving through the system. So, but that's...
we actually have a couple questions about how to use, how to understand the data in the system when the time is, if there's time left.
And one anecdotal comment is, if you have children or pets, the property is completely unsafe. The only people you can have there are adults, the careless drivers, and some of these things could easily be ameliorated if Public Works and the town elected to do it. But one comment that isn't in Rock's thing, the whole sewer system for this property is unnecessary. It has a perfect conforming sewer system that meets all the state codes. It's going to dig up the road, it's going to have an adverse effect, and then it's going to be a huge burden. After 2 years of warranty, all that new stuff, which isn't what we would buy, is going to get turned over and be the burden of the landowner.
Yeah, we have septic containment, and we pump it back across the street to our landside property to a large containment leach field, which the town's very aware of, I'm sure.
And I'll just say this to you. I tried to deal with Brian Osborne for 40 years, and the design on the stormwater system, I tried to talk directly to him about doing the sewer system correctly. I might as well have talked to a tree.
Okay.
In this building. And so stormwater traffic control was a conscious choice of the Public Works Director to not do it correctly.
But on the traffic safety, yeah, there are some institutional controls you could easily place in there, short of, which is what we've been requesting for 20 years, redirecting traffic one way or the other during different times of day. They go through there at 50, 60 miles an hour in the mornings early on. It's like a race.
And it's like a train. You get three or four cars and then a whole bunch of commercial trucks. There's no reason for through commercial trucks to be on that road.
We don't allow kids under 12 to go out the front door without escort. There are East Lakeshore Drive properties. We've mentioned the one major one here, and that have some similar comparison issues that support our claim. I can provide this as an addendum to this meeting if you would like to see this.
For reinforcement of all these arguments, by the way, if you read Manchin Bay Properties v. the Town of Colchester, Town of Colchester got creamed by Judge Sam Hoare.
I'm sure they're aware.
And then reinforced by the Supreme Court on an eminent domain case. And if you go all the way back to Hinesburg Sand and Gravel, you have to work hard to lose an eminent domain case. And so it's like, let's work together. That's what we've been trying to do for years. A couple stop signs and banning through commercial trucks on these roads.
Yeah, well, Jim and I were standing there the other day. There were six commercial trucks that came through. This was in 45 seconds.
Well, I also have a radar gun. I clocked three big straight job box trucks at over 40 miles an hour right in front of the buildings. And my wife and my grandkids are not allowed to go there. And it's all unfortunate because, and the Mongins offered to collaborate on a solution to the stormwater problem because they've got a parking lot across the street. So a design was offered at one-third of the proposed cost of the taking and building what in evidence, and that's why the case was lost.
Yeah. But we're here to...
No, but I mean, it's all related. I mean, ultimately, we'd really like to see the stuff fixed.
Yeah.
And it would be cheap.
Yeah. I'm glad to work with you on any and all elements of those things.
Do you have an appraisal on the property?
An assessment? I mean, a fiscal appraisal? Did we have an appraisal done on the property?
No.
No.
By a commercial appraiser?
No.
No.
We can do that.
We can do that.
We didn't know that was a...
Nope, it's not necessary.
Acceptable or necessary element. But.
Mm-hmm. But we, just so you know, that there, you cannot get conventional financing and insurance and stuff on this. It's got to be done as a package because of all of the stuff that we've talked about, plus the litigation.
Let's ask a couple questions. One, we see in your data where there are, by the way, I can't use the GIS system since Sunday the way I was using it last week.
Oh.
It's not giving, it's not allowing me to scroll down, tap on an individual property and get the data.
Oh, okay, I'll look into that.
Yeah. But when I could do that, in weeks prior, you would see properties where the strip was identified along the lakefront, four or five structures, a common lot. One lot number, common lot. And on some of those properties, there would be the designation condo NL. And in those situations, typically, it appeared that the land value was integrated into the building, individual building values. So that's true. That's what's going on there. So a sub question I have is, when that's done, where do you get the land value from? As at least as far as I can tell, that land value that you integrate is not documented in the system.
Right. So because of the way the ownership structure of a condominium works, when you buy the condominium, you're purchasing that land right.
Some common interest in the land, yeah.
So because of that, we use the purchase price of those condos to determine the valuations. So by using the purchase price, we're automatically including the land value.
Okay. And in some instances, there was no condo NL, but a common property appeared to be the case on the GIS map. But there was no property value. It still seemed to be integrated. So sometimes a condo NL designation is there. Other times it is not there for those types of properties.
It depends on the ownership structure.
Okay.
So if I think Good Sell Point has a vacant lot in the middle of the camps, everyone on when you buy a camp, you automatically buy ownership of that vacant lot. So it acts like a condo.
So it's divisible.
So it depends on the ownership structure and how it's deeded.
Okay.
So those lot properties are purchased and you have deeded rights to that specific lot.
Okay.
And it's sharing it.
Okay. And then our property, because it's not considered a condo, the lakefront side, that property is given an independent valuation. Okay. That land, that strip of land.
You own all 10 buildings plus the land together.
Right. Okay.
If you were to condominiumize it, we would put a value on each one of those structures, which would include the right to use the land. So, like for instance, across the street, you did that across the street.
Right.
Right. So, when you did that across the street, we had to value each building separately,
okay.
And that built those building values when we incorporated. Those building values, we incorporated that right to use the land.
And the way you make that calculation, like on the lake side, for example, if we were to condominiumize, the actual frontage in directly in front of a given structure is not the same. Does that go into the calculus at all, or do you get down into that level of arithmetic?
That's very hard to extract.
Yeah.
So if you were to do that, I would try to find other lakefront condominiums that are single family structures,
okay.
Sales, and to determine that value. It would be very hard to say that this particular building lot and what's directly in front of it is different than this one. It's kind of like saying, I've got a three-story condominium complex. Those ones on the corner are higher value than the ones on the end. When you look at the sales,
sure.
The price per square foot doesn't make a difference. So,
yeah, sometimes it might, sometimes it might not.
Yeah, so I would, if you were to do that and you were to start selling those, that would be good evidence of what those values were.
Right. When you So when you when a property moves from this independent valuation of the lot on the waterfront to condominiumize or somehow subdivide, somehow combine the land value in, does the assessment go up? Does it change?
The assessment on the buildings would go up.
The assessment on the buildings will go up.
Because the buildings would now include the right to use the property. So okay. Right now, the rights to the land is part of the land value.
I see.
Right? And then your building are just the replacement cost, less depreciation of the building. As soon as you condominiumize it, you're now transferring
those
value, the rights from the land to the building.
Okay. And so in aggregate, would the valuation typically go up overall, or would it remain the same?
Your net would go up.
The net would go up most likely.
You're looking at individual properties, which would hold more value. Yeah,
that's my.
It's like if you have a 3-lot subdivision, you sell all 3 lots at once, your value per lot is going to be less than if you sold each lot separately.
Sure. Okay.
Not to be argumentative, but I used to do hockey's work, hockey, HVL and stuff. And when we weave the package of property rights together, we oftentimes don't use condominium because at the condominium level that triggers, let's call it consumer right issues at the federal level that are a burden to the condominium owners, and it creates litigation risk to the whole group. So when we assemble the property rights package, it doesn't have a diminution in value over a condominium. The condominium actually has a lower value because it's an invitation to a legal battle. And when you get one person out of 10 that chooses to exploit that, it just screws over the whole homeowners association and they end up with a lot of litigation. So I would just push back and say, I don't think in this case that whether this is condoed or not condoed would actually change the intrinsic value in an arm's length sale.
Certainly, we can get in debate of this. I'm not really looking to debate this, but if you took each building, right, and the foundation one and the campus unusable, all 10 of them, you're going to subdivide and have 40 feet of frontage in front of each one, or whatever that is, 45 feet in front of each one, and you sold those separately with the 45 feet ownership, that would be a higher value than if that land was owned in common.
That's where I challenge you, because the whole lakefront is owned by the citizens, so the high water comes right up to the wall, and so there is no ability to subdivide frontage in this case. It is 100% subjected to the common law of navigable waterways. You cannot tell somebody to get off that property.
What's the level of your bottom of your seawall?
I forget off
the I think it's
documented
the I forget.
I don't know.
It's either 101 or 10. I think it's 10. But the water comes all the way up to the wall.
I believe the state recognized 95.5 feet as their common after that. So that's why I ask. And so it's.
But we're not changing any of the designation right now.
All the different things that may or may not have value.
Yeah. When I worked on Apple Tree Point, we got into all this stuff, and I can assure you that trying to hand somebody a trespass notice and tell them they can't use the property, it's not going to be a successful process.
That's with everybody, and so when you look at sales on all of East Lake Shore Drive, everyone's going to have the same issues, same traffic issues, just about, depending on where you are, but same parking issues. All those properties have very similar issues.
I do want to say that the traffic in front where we are is not the same. It really isn't. You go down there and stand for an hour and you watch the traffic go by, they come up over the dip on East Lake Shore, Norse's side, they come up out of that little dip past Ray Jeanette and they just jam on the accelerator. And they come around that very little turn in front of my parents, Addie's cottage, and they go from 35, whatever they were doing, coming up out, and they hit 50 or 60 going by me. And then they have to slow down again before they go down into And that is not the same. I mean, I've been here 65 years. It is not the same traffic. You need to put something, I'm begging you to put something in. You know, somebody got, 10, 15 years ago, whatever, maybe 20 now, somebody got hit and knocked over the bank before Dead Man's because they were just walking alongside the road. That hasn't happened again because people are deadly serious about how they manage their kids and how they cross the street and so forth because this is dangerous.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my...
But on either end, you have a 90-degree turn on one end that's banked, and then you have a traffic control on the other end. This literally is the middle, and I sat there with a radar gun, and it's incredible to me how fast some of these cars go.
We informally asked Colchester Police, whatever it was, 6 or 7 years ago, my brother did. You know, he knew a couple of the cops on the job then, and they sat there, and they wrote tickets all day long. And it slowed down for a little while. But you can't sit a cop there on Lone Birch, you know, nailing people all day long. It's just something to control it.
A local policy that uses photo radar and moving violations going through a stop sign, you would cure them very quickly.
You would be able to lower our taxes. You put a bin, radar bin in there.
Honestly, maybe this is because I'm getting older, but... I drive down the road.
Okay.
I can't see how anybody can go over 30 on it because it's so narrow, you know. It just blows my mind that people
Just imagine a CDL driver, if you have enforcement, they will drop that speed because they hit 7 points, they don't have a job. So it's crazy that they don't.
It's not everyone, but it's not everyone that speeds excessively.
No.
But there are enough of them. It's bad. And again, as you all know, if you drive the road, then you know, mornings from 5 a.m. to 7:38, it's incredibly busy from the north to south and the opposite direction at night.
Yeah.
But this could be so nice, with particularly during the sewer project. You got to dig it all up and you got to put it all back together again, and it could be done really, really well. Stormwater, pedestrian safety, and speed control, and put in 3 stop signs at that intersection, and you change the whole environment.
It's more inconvenient for anybody to get to
work. Well, I mean, if the assessors tell the people who are driving the bus, this is a materially adverse effect on the grand list.
Get that
ring. Yeah.